We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit MTE.com. MTE.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning in studio, we have guests from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, and we'll be talking about, I guess, multiple things dealing with Parks and Rec. And I don't know, starting off this morning, what do you guys want to talk about first?
I don't know. Let's just talk about life for a little bit.
Let's do that.
Everything going on in Murfreesboro. So
that sounds perfect.
It's a nice break from the weather today that we've had recently. So
it is. And it's going to be like, I think, 71 tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be really nice out there. Nate Williams here. And Nate, thank you for bringing that good weather with you.
Yeah, that's what we do. So it's a good time to get outside.
Especially
this week.
Parks and Rec are responsible for.
That's what we're, yeah. Thomas is in charge of the weather. We say that, you know, every time we have a big event outside, we say, check Thomas to get check the weather. And he says, oh, it's not going to rain. So it's good. But no, seriously, though, it's a great opportunity over the next few days to get outside, enjoy some of the outdoor amenities that you might have been kind of torn away from. Well, it's been cold outside. The greenway's always open. Then the trails at Barfield are a great place to get out and, you know, get walking.
Or ride a bike.
Or ride a mountain bike.
A special place for that, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're excited, Scott. We got a lot of stuff about to happen. Of course, Veterans Park has been bid, and that contract has been awarded. So we're looking for groundbreaking in April and dirt to start moving. So it's something everybody on that side of town's been really excited about. And we also have a couple other projects. The Patterson Outdoor Improvement projects are coming up. That's going to add a splash pad, new playground, renovate the existing parking, and add some parking. Much needed at Patterson Park Community Center.
So with the splash pad, what is that going to look like?
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of a natural scape splash pad with some sprayers that come up, and it's going to be right next to a new playground. So a nice spot. We like splash pads when we were looking at it that, you know, when it's the off season that you couldn't really tell anything was there. So more of a passive type of splash pad. Then, of course, the playground will be there. And then the other project that we're looking forward to is Old Fort Park, the original ball field. That's undergoing renovation starting this spring, too. Probably going to break ground in April.
And that's the ball field as you drive into Old Fort Park, the one that will be, I guess, to your left, opposite of, what, Kids Castle?
Yeah, one that looks pretty rough over there. So that's been there since the 70s. So we're going to raise all that, address some stormwater issues that we're having, put in some pervious pavers for the parking area. Our stormwater fund, thankfully, is working to help us with that. And like I said, raise that whole area a little bit and then make it where the water can flow a little bit better. But new fencing, synthetic turf field, new lighting. I think it's just going to be kind of really the finale of a big overhaul at Old Fort Park. We had the golf course renovation. We had the original 8 tennis court renovation to 6 tennis, 6 pickleball courts, the addition of the skate park, and then we're finishing it off with this ball field project.
That's a lot at that park. I mean, that's totally changed from when it first opened.
Yeah, it's totally changed. You know, Old Fort was one of those parks. It's just, I always say, you know, in the 70s and 80s, Murfreesboro's first real big investment in the park system, and I think really set a staple for the type of parks that we want to have and has served us for generations, and we're adding more amenities and renovating what we have to make sure it can serve, you know, generations to come.
And then at Veterans Park, which is going to be the brand new park, and again, you're going to start working on that around April or so.
Yeah, we're expecting a groundbreaking. The contract has been awarded for that, so we're excited. 153 acres. We'll have a destination playground, event center, trail network, pavilions. Just really excited about that park.
Is it expensive to build a park? I mean, what goes into, you know, whenever you get the land, what goes into actually making it a park?
You know, you have to design it, and that takes sometimes close to $1 million to design something that big. Then after that, we were expecting the project to come in just shy of $25 million, but it actually came in about $16.5 million. So we had some savings on that, which is really, you know, something that we haven't had recently, and we're really excited to get going.
Have construction costs gone down, or have they gone up over the last 12 months or so?
Yeah, we're seeing it kind of level off, I think, and maybe we'll start trending downward at some point, but I think that crescendo has really peaked, and we're excited to get some projects done. And as always, we're really excited and thankful for the support that we have from our council, our administration, who believe in the benefits of parks. We've had a lot of projects over the past year, and, you know, expect more to come, and Just really thankful to be able to have that opportunity.
Parks are one of those things that I do think it helps to bring in more corporate-type businesses.
Yeah, I think when it comes to quality of life in Murfreesboro, when corporations look at moving their businesses here, or if businesses, startups look at where they want to start their business up, I think they look at places and figure out what type of quality of life their families could have, you know, what would attract them to live there. And thankfully, you know, we have a robust park system that a lot of people turn their head towards and say, hey, this is something that, you know, I think could be attractive for families. And, you know, 2,000 acres and a city our size, big, you know, pieces of natural areas like Barfield Crescent Park, that's, you know, 473 acres. It's just unique for a municipal park system. Yeah, we're just thankful to be able to provide it.
The Greenway Trail, that will connect to the new Veterans Park whenever that's complete, or will it not yet?
You know, that's shown in our master plan. That could take 10 to 20 years, though. You know, that master plan just shows where trails can be built. One of the pavilions that we have coming off of the Cloister side would serve as a trailhead. So we're planning for that in the future. But, you know, that's not even designed, planned, funded. So, you know, that's just more theoretical, conceptual of when that would, how it would attach when it does on Overall Creek.
The Cloister, that's a subdivision that's right there behind the park?
South of the park, yeah, neighborhood. So that's the one neighborhood connector that we do have to the park. On the north side is Berkshire. And unfortunately, you know, there's no city streets that come out. We don't want to take any private property, but I think we've got a good, in the northwest corner, a place for people in that area to have, you know, a pedestrian connection.
And then you could have everything from concerts to family picnics out there, I guess.
Yeah, we're looking at it now. Rachel and her team are looking at how we plan that out, our policies, and how we might be able to rent it out some. The cultural arts team is looking at how we might be able to put some performances out there and do some really unique things with that space. So one other thing that we're really excited about is we're going to have, you know, is Veterans Park. So we wanted to honor veterans in a unique way. So we do have a large flag that'll be right in the middle of the park. I think it's going to be something people are going to be really excited about.
Hopefully breaking ground in April, right?
Feel pretty good about breaking ground in April based on where we are. We're about to give the notice to proceed. Contracts have been signed. So we're about to get rolling.
Sounds good.
We'll let you know as soon as we have a date.
Thanks. I'll be out there with my shovel.
With your shovel.
That's right.
And microphone.
Absolutely. What else is happening within the parks?
One of the things we have coming up is our camp registration, which is always really big. That's going to open on Monday, March 3rd. And total camps we have, there's a lot. They're all on our website, but we have the sports camps, the visual arts camps, the Wilderness Station has camps, just anything you can imagine. They do fill up really fast. So you can sign up online, which is what a lot of people do. You can go to the facilities and sign up in person starting at 8 a.m. But it's kind of first come, first serve, how it goes through the system. So we do ask that people kind of get on there, look through, see what camps you want. Obviously with staffing, they are limited to a certain number. So once they're full, they're full. But just kind of go on there, look at what you think your kids might be interested in, and then just kind of go from there. But we're excited about that.
Lynn Caldwell with us as well this morning. So Lynn, what are the different types of camps that fill up the quickest?
Probably one of our most popular is sports camp, which lasts all summer or through June and July and stuff. So that is that's an all day camp, or, you know, several hours. They get to swim, play different sports, all of that. That's one of our most popular ones, I'd say. Also, the Wilderness Station, they have great camps. There's all kinds of, there's kayaking, there's the going into the Wilderness Station, and
yeah, we've got Outdoor Adventure Camp, yeah, which is really popular. And so they're at a different location each day of the week. They're climbing, caving, kayaking, hiking, that's a popular one. But really, I mean, we're fortunate to have such great camps across the board. So it doesn't matter what kind of kid you have, and really what age, we really spread out the ages to make sure we've got something for everybody. We've got cultural arts camps, the specialty
sewing camp. Mm-hmm. If you've got someone that loves that, wants to learn a little more about that, we've got that. The performing arts, they have a camp. Mm-hmm.
Is there a fee for the camps?
Yes, and all that's on the website. They're all different pricing, so just depending on the time and the different activities.
One thing I would suggest, if you are interested in signing up for a camp, you know, get online now, look at the descriptors, see, you know, what kind of piques your interest, but also make sure that you already have a household set up in our system, because on those camps that go quick, you know, if you had to take the time to set up a household, you might get behind. So just make sure you've got an account ready, and then if you have any problems, contact our office, and we can get you squared away to have an account ready to go on Monday.
Rachel Singer also with us. I'm just, you know, saying your names randomly. If anybody does want to sign up for these camps, again, they just go to the Parks website and then go from there.
Yes, we have a spotlight on there with a link that'll take you right to it and kind of go through, like Rachel said, all the descriptions of every camp, the times, the dates, and the cost.
Okay.
So you can go through there, be ready. And like she said, definitely make sure that you go in on RecTrack and sign up so that you're ready, so you don't have to do those 4 or 5 steps. It's an easy process, but when time is of the essence and you're trying to get in there, you want that done. So
you can also sign up in person. If you're that type of person that, you know, would rather talk to somebody face-to-face the morning of, Patterson's SportsCom and our main office on Thompson Lane are the three places you can sign up in person.
And then how many kids are usually in each camp? Are we talking about a huge number of kids? Or
so
how
it
does
varies
that
based on, you know, the activities and the staffing. So some of our specialty camps are smaller numbers. I know the outdoor camps take 12. Sports camp, I think, takes 60. So it's kind of everywhere in between that. But we're real conscious of our staff to camper ratios and making sure all that's followed to make sure that the kids have the best and safest summer with us.
Now, are there any new camps that haven't been held before, but y'all are trying something new?
We don't have any new camps on the schedule this year, but just a lot of the super popular ones. And our staff really looks at camps and tweaks them and makes those adjustments.
Yeah.
So maybe the camp's not new, but there might be some new activities and new staffing and stuff. So
yeah, I would say they added some twists to all of them, to the different scheduled activities. So there's something a little bit different. Same type of camp, but new activities.
Do some of the same kids sign up for the next year after that?
they have their favorites, absolutely.
And again, what age group are we talking of kids here?
The ages are on there.
It starts as early as 7, and we go through 17. So there's really something for everyone.
Yeah.
Now, for like those 7-year-olds, do their parents have to be there as well, or how do you work
all
that?
No, parents can drop off. Our staff is really good answering questions, easing any minds, you know, if that's the first time the kid is going to camp. And we also look at the time frames for those kiddos too. So our younger camps aren't a full day. And we just keep that in mind for their attention span and, you know, if that's their first time away from home or something. So
each camp is very specific on age. So it's not necessarily a 7-year-old is going to be in a camp with a 17-year-old. It might be, you know, 13 to 17 or 7 to 10. It just, everyone is just unique. And I think that's part of the planning that goes into it, is we want it very specific and catered toward that age group and that, you know, area of interest that they might have. So they fill up fast, too.
I bet they do. Yeah, you always talk about how quickly they do fill up.
And it's changed so much over the years. You know, I know when Rachel and Thomas and I first started, we used to have like a camp fair to try to motivate people to sign up. And that was, you know, 15 years ago. And now it's just, you know, just wide open.
Yeah, these days everybody wants to get rid of their kids for the summer.
And now we've got kids who used to come to our camps that are bringing their kids to camps. So a lot of our lifeguards have gone through, and they did our junior lifeguard camp and then started lifeguarding, and now...
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Do you have a lot of former campers who work there? And
there are a lot of kids, especially in that junior lifeguard camp, that had a really keen interest in doing something like that and ended up lifeguarding.
We also have an employee that's working at the Wilderness Station right now as a program instructor, and she started out in our adventure camps, and she's in graduate school now. And she just keeps, she says, be quiet, Nate. She says that
awesome.
Really, helped like in the trajectory of her career and her life. So it's neat, those full circle stories.
Isn't it wild that you can now look back and say, well, I remember when they were a camper here.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, these camps have been going on for years and years. In fact, do y'all know about when y'all had the first camp, or was it when the park started?
Summer Roadshow,
mm-hmm. Probably in the 80s. Marlene mm-hmm. Sewell started that, and that was really first dabbling in. I think probably in there was Terry Womack mm-hmm. With the Sunshine Players and stuff like that. So
they just started to grow like crazy, I guess.
Started to grow. You know, I think they've evolved so much. Each one of our programs have evolved and grown so much.
I mean, the parks have come a long way. I remember in downtown Murfreesboro, you had the Cox Recreational Gym here in town, and there were camps there, too.
Mm-hmm. Camps there. We used to play youth basketball there.
Yeah.
It's changed quite a bit.
When you look back over the years, how much larger is the park system today versus, you know, 20 years ago? Because, man, things really have changed and grown.
You know, even 20 years ago, you think about 2005, We've probably, in the number of full-time staff, at least tripled or quadrupled the amount of staff that we have, grown our facilities, grown our programs, I think grown our events. So, you know, there's something going on all the time, and that's why I always try to push people to MurfreesboroParks.com. Every day, if you're looking for something to do, there's something to be done. So, and it's just a tribute to our dedicated staff who work just so hard to come up with new things, innovative things, for people in Murfreesboro and anybody visiting Murfreesboro to be able to do. But, you know, I think about in 2005, that's when Richard Siegel Soccer Complex opened originally. So then you fast forward to 2022, and it's reopened with a 110,000 square foot indoor facility, 8 synthetic turf fields, renovated championship plaza, just a lot of stuff like that. So I think that speaks to just how we're fortunate to be able to have these things and continue to improve these things and do renovation projects, you know, and take care of buildings. You know, like we're the things that people don't see too often is we have a chiller issue at Patterson that we've been dealing with, and it's just taken a long time to get to a solution with that. And, you know, for us to be able to, you know, dedicate the amount of funding to correct that permanently, we're fortunate to be able to do that.
I don't know what year Kids Castle was built in Old Fort Park, but it seems like it was around that time frame that the parks just really took off and really expanded and grew.
Yeah, so I think that was a good launching point. I think that was 1994 is when Kids Castle originally was built. My class had one of the bricks out there for donating, so it was a lot of fun.
When you look at new ventures that the parks have taken on, like that indoor soccer arena that's out there at the soccer complex, tell us or bring us up to date on that, and how has all that been? Because that was installed, what, a year ago now or 2 years ago?
Yeah, almost 2 years ago, and it's done more than we could have ever imagined. You know, our partnership with the Tennessee State Soccer Association, we work together. They're kind of a soccer expertise. They help draw some connections that we might not otherwise have to tournaments, to different types of, you know, development opportunities. And I think of the PCDL league, that's a pre-collegiate development academy, PCDA, I'm sorry, that comes to Murfreesboro, and it kind of calls Murfreesboro home and uses kind of that gap time in the mornings that's not as utilized, but that's Monday through Friday. Even stuff as far as we hosted our first MLS event last summer, and that was a 9-day event, and then we just signed another contract to do another one this year. So that event came from Dallas, Texas. And made a decision to move from Dallas to Murfreesboro.
It seems like there's a lot of soccer that comes from the Texas area.
Yeah. You know, our goal, our stated goal, when we went in and met with TSSA, is to say, hey, you know, if we do this, we want to make Murfreesboro a destination for soccer development. And, you know, we always strive to be better and do better and, you know, make things as functional as possible. But we've achieved that goal, you know, in short time.
And whenever you do have these soccer tournaments like the one you just talked about, that was the first of its kind in this area, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that's not the only one. We have other national tournaments, many regional tournaments. You talk about these tournaments, I forgot the stats, but, you know, we'll have, I think, over 650 games played during the MLS, I think over 400 teams. It's just, you think about the impact of that, each team being, you know, 17 players, nobody's really from around here. They're all coming in, they're staying at our hotels, eating at our restaurants, shopping. And each one of these events, and not just MLS, but each of the other ones, you're talking about thousands of people in Murfreesboro. That's millions of dollars in a bump to our economy.
And they picked this location, of course, not only because of the soccer parks that we have here, but also because of the central location, I would guess.
Yeah, I think the central location, I think being close to Nashville, close to an airport, is nice. I'd like to think that our facility speaks for themselves, though, when it comes to what we offer. And if you go out and if we have a big tournament at Siegel, or if even on a recreation, you know, Saturday where it's just our King's Hammer folks playing, they're going to get great customer service from our staff out there, guaranteed. And I think that's what a lot of people appreciate.
And then when you talk about that MLS league coming in here, are they adults? Are they teenagers? What are they?
Yeah, they're teenagers. So it's kind of like the development academy for MLS. So they're kind of weeding through. There's lots of prospects there that they go through. And it's people who will be, you know, most likely be playing some form of major league soccer, professional soccer, or someday.
They, again, all come here. They stay two or three nights at a time, or maybe a week at a time, because how long are those tournaments? Are they
so
a week long?
MLS, I think, is a nine-day event. Days. Yeah, so 9 days. That's why that one's so big.
Yeah.
So that one's unique in how long it is. Other ones are 3 and 4 day tournaments, but that one's very unique.
Are they flying in from all over the country, or is it mainly the South? What is it?
All over the country, some from out of the country. And it's amazing. You can look at, we have a software that we use to track usage, and you can look at that and it gives you a visual of where they're coming in from all over. And you can just see those arrows coming in from all over the country descending on Murfreesboro.
And then the indoor arena, how is that used or utilized during those types of tournaments?
So that one they have set up as a player lounge and then like kind of a hangout area. It's really cool. They brought in all kinds of dividers and couches, TVs and stuff like that. So, you know, it was something out of anything I could have imagined, but it was a really cool place for the players just to be able to hang out.
What all has that been used for so far since it's been open?
Yeah, we've done a lot of soccer, a whole lot of soccer, but we've used it for other things. I think we've done some football in there, not during the peak of soccer season, but just a variety of things. When we hosted the 2024 Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association annual conference here in Murfreesboro, we used it as a place to play archery tag, show people what it was all about, did cornhole. I mean, it's just so flexible.
And again, it kind of holds in the cooler air, I guess, during the summertime with those circulating.
Yeah,
fans.
So it's kind of a 20 degree buffer is what it's intended to be. So if it's 30 degrees outside, sometimes you can break that cold and have it 50 degrees, no wind. If sometimes though, on a cold day where it's sunny, it'll actually feel colder inside. There's that off time where you're not getting the UV rays, sometimes it feels colder in there. But in the summertime, we have six huge fans that blow down, have exhaust at the top, takes the hot air out. So it keeps the sun off of you and constantly blows air down.
Do you foresee more arenas like that here?
You know, I think eventually in the future, we would need more soccer fields. I don't know if an indoor facility is something we'd pursue. The mayor and the council is laser focused for us now to look towards ball fields. We haven't built ball fields since the mid-90s, so that's a charge directly from Mayor McFarland to look at what it would take, where it could happen, and come up with creative ways to make that happen. So we've got Veterans Park started, and we're shifting our focus now to look towards some development of ball fields.
I'm just curious, is there a way to develop more parks within neighborhoods, up-and-coming neighborhoods that are being built? Has that been discussed?
Yeah, anytime there's a development, we look at opportunities. We don't want to take away from a lot of these neighborhoods will have their own HOA type of park. So that's something I think that's great for them. But we always want parks that are close to the residential areas that can get people moving and walking.
Thomas Laird also with us. He looks like really excited to be here and ready.
He's pacing
to
back here.
He is. He's like, when's my
turn?
You
better watch it. He might get his harmonica out.
Thomas, so what all is happening in your basketball court?
Basketball, of course. We got almost 1,500 kids playing basketball right now at 10 different locations throughout the city. So we good partnership with city schools allows us to use those city school gyms on Saturdays and, of course, all of our facilities. I think we're entering week six, so we're not far off of completing with the single elimination tournament that first week of March.
And you can really tell about the growth of our area whenever you look at those signups for things like basketball.
Absolutely. My first year, 2001, when I was with the city, we had 36 teams. And I think this year we had 160.
Wow.
So it's incredible how much that has grown and, just the number of kids participating across all the sports. You talk about soccer and baseball. I mean, we've probably got at any given season 1,500 to 2,000 kids playing soccer and baseball and softball. So it's really incredible how many kids are actually involved in youth sports here in Murfreesboro.
I know all these sports have different ages or age requirements for when kids can actually sign up for the first time. But when you look at things like, as an example, t-ball or baseball, those are sports that a lot of the younger kids are a part of, and soccer as well. But how young are you seeing some of these participants?
I mean, we have some parents that try to get their kids into t-ball at 3 years old.
Kind of sneak them in there?
Right, and most of the leagues start at four. For city programs or recreational programs, we start at age five with basketball. Five and six is they don't keep score, and I think soccer's right in line with that. But usually four or five. There are some developmental programs. We have a program for 3 and 4 year olds that where parents participate with them. So it's really just to get them familiar with the sport. The very last week of that program is where they actually attempt to play a game.
Have you ever had anything crazy happen, like some parent forges a birth certificate to get them to play early? All kinds of stuff.
We could go for days, Scott. It's unreal,
It's hilarious when you start to look at the competitive nature of certain sports versus others, and then you realize really quick it's the parents who are really the ones who are more competitive.
And it's really a perspective thing. You know, we try to encourage our coaches in training to speak with the parents and try to help them keep it in perspective. You know, nobody's life's on the line. It's a recreational ball game. But sometimes that's hard for parents. And, you know, from a parent myself, I was very critical until my kid was out there on the court. And, you know, that's my son somebody had just elbowed. So
parents do get pretty excited at times.
Right. But we have a really good sports culture here in Murfreesboro. It's a competitive culture. But really, knock on wood, we don't have outrageous incidents. Perhaps in the past, but the culture here in Murfreesboro is really good.
Yeah, that stuff happens in other towns, not
right.
Not
right.
Here.
People come here from other cities.
How do you go about getting enough coaches to actually lead these different teams?
You know, the crazy thing was when we started getting coaches was the hardest thing we did. So we started focusing more on training coaches and giving them the tools to coach, because a lot of them want to, they just don't have the know-how or the ability. So we really try to focus in on the coaches training and improve that. One thing is when we do coaches training, we always feed them, and that helps get the participation
don't give
up
away our secrets here, Thomas. Right. That's our
but we trained almost 300 coaches this year for this league, and I think the training is what gives the coaches the ability to come back, and we give them all the resources online, and so that coaching nowadays is so much different than 20 years ago when you had to get tips and pointers from your friends and neighbors. Now you can go online and the material is there. You just have to be pointed in the right direction.
And I know that can be pretty intimidating for a first-time parent to actually sign up to lead their kid's soccer team or t-ball team, whatever the case
right,
is.
Right. And another thing we started doing was the staff really, if we had teams that did not have a coach, we went forward with first practice and coached it through the staff and tried to set an example so that parents can see from the stands that it's not an overwhelmingly hard job. And most of the time, they're always willing to step up.
What do you tell those first time, you know, this is their first kid, this is their first time to coach a team? What do you usually tell those parents? Because a lot of them never played whatever sport it is they're volunteered to coach for.
Right. Well, one is keep it fun. You know, keep the kids active. You don't want them sitting around.
Yeah.
An idle kid is either going to misbehave or they're going to get bored and not engaged. So we try to give them a lot of games and activities, particular for the younger kids, that they can play during practice that helps improve their skills, but it keeps it fun and keeps them where they want to play. And then if disciplinary problems arise, they're able to set that particular kid out, and the activities are so fun that they don't want to be set out again.
Yeah.
And that usually remedies that. So it's much easier helping a new parent that's never coached before as opposed to the one that played college basketball and knows the heart
everything.
And soul of basketball.
Yes. Some of the kids out there on the field are actually playing a different game altogether
right.
than the one they're actually participating
right.
in.
Well, I see the man-to-man. I've literally watched this. A coach taught man-to-man. He was a former college player, and you know, these are 6 and 7 year olds, and he told us, said, this is your man, you stay with him. And he literally followed him to the water fountain. He's guarding him at the water fountain.
Kids are hilarious. You know, when they're 5, 6 years old, to watch them play a sport, it's really funny to watch them interact.
It is.
What's the craziest story that you can recall involving one of these kids?
You put me on the spot.
Let me recall the memory bank here.
You know, sometimes the behavior gets unreal, and we've had a kid that just lost control, cussed out all the football officials, referees, stormed off, and we had the parent come in and talk to us, you know, before they could go
yeah.
back, and it was clear how that kid got his behavior. But her first comment was, he wasn't raised like that.
But then, what do you know? Mom, first, dad talks the same way.
Right. Anytime, you know, adults lose perspective, you know, it's a bad look, not just for the sport, the league, but the community and all. So we really try to help intervene. Our gym directors are there, and they try to intervene where that, you know, if things get heated, we're able to isolate it and
You know, for me, I think my biggest concern at the time as being a new parent was, what's the environment going to be like, and what are the other kids like? And then how do you control those situations where you have a parent who is way overboard thinking this is some type of college sport?
Right. You know, I was, you know, in the gyms for years, and often you can get those telltale signs that parent is overly ambitious and is cheering and critical of referees, things like that. Oftentimes a staff member just simply going and sitting next to that person, and a lot of them, they're protecting their kid and they're going to bat for their kid. So the best way to diffuse it is ask them about their kid. They'll get completely sidetracked from the ball game to tell you all the great things their kid's doing.
That's one job. It would be tough for me. I don't think I could do what y'all do when it comes to kids' sports, because it would be really awkward at times.
You know, the thing that Thomas just said, our gym directors, our athletics team, do just a tremendous job, because, you know, 99% of the time, it's great. You know, you go into those gyms, and most of the time we got music playing, we got popcorn being served, and it's just great. But there's 1% of the time, and it's few and far between. But the biggest thing you can do is just diffuse any situation. And it's not just basketball. Any altercation that we've had in any of our facilities, our staff is well equipped to diffuse those as much as possible. But we're thankful it rarely happens and can move forward. But have full confidence in all of our staff that they can handle it as needed.
You know,
Thomas is the master of diffusing. So,
break it up, guys.
Well, it was 20 years there that maybe the back half maybe wasn't so diffused.
Now, as far as the referees and everything, you know, they take a lot of heat, just like you would imagine at the high school level. That, I mean,
they
it does
really
happen.
Do. And you know, that's another thing we really try to emphasize in training, is that our officials literally have no preference who wins the game one way or the other, and they are young officials, and you know, to progress the sport, to have future high school and college referees, this is where they begin. And we try to really emphasize that to the coaches and the parents. And the one thing I say is, I have yet to ever watch a ball game where the referees were supposedly at fault, that you couldn't go back and look that a layup or a free throw or turnovers didn't occur that could have prevented it from being a 2 or 3 point game. Rarely is a referee, I don't know that I've ever seen the referee cost you the game. If they missed the call, the last call of the game, yeah, maybe you should hit some more free throws.
That's right.
Now, earlier in the game.
Speaking of referee, are those positions that are available for, you know, high school kids to have a part-time job over the summertime? I mean, what are those?
Well, our officials, for officials, we try to have 18 and over, and you can understand they're dealing with parents, and you know, sometimes they are tense situations. However, our camp counselors, 16 and over, we're starting to hire camp counselors, so the ads will be going out next month for part-time staff, kids looking for a job, concession workers at SportsCom, I think we, and then of course lifeguards. We're always looking for lifeguards, and we have opportunities if, you know, if a kid will stay with us through the summer, we'll train them.
Now, do you have a lot of kids, or have you had a lot of kids over the years who went on to become full-time employees of the Parks Department?
We got one right here.
There's
one right in front.
I went in for a summer job and I left with a career. So that's not what I was expecting, you know. But yeah, we've seen a lot of people. I think of Carrie Stafford. She's one of our aquatics coordinators. She started working for me as a lifeguard. Kyle Goss, our aquatic superintendent, started working for me as a lifeguard. I think it's a great place to get started if you have that interest. You know, my
Brittany
son's
was a scorekeeper.
Yeah, Brittany Garrett, our athletic superintendent. You know, just a great group of people who've progressed quickly. It's a great career. It really is. So we like to get people in and show them the other side of how this business operates.
And when you look back and you try to remember that interview you had with them whenever you first hired them, did they say anything to you that would have led you to believe, hey, this is going to be a full-time, long-term staff member one day?
You know, not necessarily in the interview, but I think we like, and I think we see what natural leadership looks like. We like to build strong leaders, but you have to have that kind of inclination within you. And I think, you know, Carrie, Brittany, Kyle, they were all that type of ilk to be able to do it. So we saw it, and thankfully they're on our team.
And then when you talk about having a position with the city that's a full-time position, is that the type of position, that type of career that comes with things like insurance and different
benefits? Yeah, absolutely. The city has great benefits. The city has great pay. You know, it's reviewed regularly. And like I said, you know, I never intended to be a recreation professional. I went to college for business school every time, you know, I was looking for my next out, and it seemed like something else kind of happened. But, you know, if you take the business mindset to what we do, it's, you know, it can make it a benefit for not only the people in Murfreesboro, but, you know, the way we run our operation within parks.
You know, it seems like other than the medical field, the majority of people who go to college for one thing, they usually end up doing something totally different.
My 15-year-old's already stressed about it. I'm like, buddy, whatever you think you're going to be doing 4 years from now, you're not going to be doing. So
school is something I never fully stressed about.
Yeah, he did ask me, he said, do you think if I became a lifeguard, I could do what you do? I'm like, maybe, buddy, I don't know.
Do anything you want to.
Yeah.
For the hiring of these different summertime type positions and spring positions, what do they need to do? Are they all listed, all these jobs available?
You can go to MurfreesboroParks.com, and that'll navigate you back to where we have job openings.
Click on there, and it will always show you all the updated positions, and you can go on there and read about them and then apply straight from there.
Okay.
If you don't see something today, check next week. It's updated every Friday. So
quite often.
Right. We'll run the ads, and then, you know, once we get enough applicants, we'll close it off. But then if things midsummer, we've hired staff middle of summer often.
With spring just around the corner, Spring Fling, any events going on with TSSAA that you guys are working on?
Well, of course, we have Spring Fling coming up. That's always the week before Memorial Day in May. And then we've just got a variety of different things starting. The Miracle League will kick off their opening day on April the 4th, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's always good to come out, watch ball games on Saturday mornings when the Miracle League's playing. And then the first week of May, we've got the Special Olympics over at MTSU. We partner with literally the entire community partners to put on that massive event. And that's something we're really reaching out to our churches and our community partners to help us fill the stands. We had a good crowd last year, but I think we still had room for a few more people to come observe, and that's a great event for people to do that. We'll come back and update you more as it gets closer. But as spring blossoms, it's disc golf is kicking off, Scott. I know you like to play the disc golf.
So. I'm an avid fan, just not as big of a fan as you. Disc
He's
golf
extreme,
is like your thing.
Golf.
That's right.
I get tired of hearing about it, to be honest.
We only have like 4 minutes left, but we left off the March Migration Madness. What is that?
So that's something fun that we have this year that's going to be out at Murphy Spring Wetland, and that's at 10 a.m. on the 28th of March. But it's just going to be a day to come out, bring your binoculars. They're going to do some bird watching. I know a lot of people in the area love that. There's just a lot of different types and species and so forth out there. So it's a great day to kind of come out, and they're going to meet out there at, like at 10 a.m. and just kind of go around and see all the things they can see.
Now, we have some binoculars that folks can borrow because, you know, that's one of those things a lot of people don't just go out and buy binoculars.
We do.
You do?
Yes. So if you don't have your own, don't let that stop you. Come on out and enjoy.
And that's going to be, again, where and what time?
That's at Murphy Springs, and it's on March 28th at 10 a.m.
Okay. And then Battle of the Bands, March 22nd.
Yes. That's, you know, this will be our fourth year, and so we really do encourage people to come out. That's all local bands, and they'll compete live. It's a great day. It's at inside the Washington Theater at Patterson Park. And so the bands have already been lined up. We'll have some more information next time to kind of tell you who they are, but they'll be competing, and that's just a great, great fun event.
Sounds great.
All local talent.
We are already out of time. We got to fit the weather and all that in, but Nate, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, always check out MurfreesboroParks.com and then MurfreesboroCensus.com. Census is really important for us to get that in and make sure we can continue to provide awesome park facilities.
Sounds great. Again, Nate Williams with us this morning, Rachel Singer, Thomas Laird, and Lynn Caldwell from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE has provided light, comfort, and connection to our community since 1936. As your trusted energy advisor, MTE is always here to help. Connect online or download the My MTE app.